Well, happy Easter, y'all. This event that we are here to celebrate today really sets the Christian faith apart from any other belief in the world. And without it, to be honest with you, the Christian faith would be absolutely meaningless. And as crazy as it sounds, our entire belief system hinges on just three words. And so today is a celebration of the fact that the way that we left it on Good Friday is not the way that it stayed. It was not game over. Mm-mm. Because on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus stepped out of the grave and conquered death, because he is risen. So every year during Holy Week, I kind of have my own little self-evaluation of my own faith, what I believe, and I just kind of check my gut again every year. And if you've been around Westridge for a while, you know that it's incredibly important to me that we not only think through our faith in a meaningful way, but that we build our own faith with our own two hands from the ground up, so to speak. Because that's the only way that I believe that our faith can be sustainable. My parents were very strong people of faith, and I was raised in the church as a pastor's kid, which explains a lot of my issues. But, you know, that means a lot to me. That legacy was awesome. But the truth is that for a long time, my faith was really their faith. And it was like I believed in God because I was raised to believe in God. I went to church because I was raised to go to church. That's just the way it was. And I think it's true for a lot of us. Our religion is such a part of our family makeup and culture to the point that I would go out on a limb and say that if you were raised in India, odds are you wouldn't be a Christian. You'd be a Hindu. And if you were raised in Iraq, odds are you would be Muslim instead of a Christian, simply dictated by the geography of where we grow up. And so the question that I have for you this morning is your faith based on just the fact that you were raised in the USA to Christian parents? Or have you really thought through what your faith really is about and why, and you own it? In whatever tradition you're raised in, the problem is that we live off of the faith that our parents gave us, and we soon find out that it's not enough. Because as it turns out, it's not faith at all. It's just empty religion. And some of us are just following our parents down the line of not having any faith at all, and we come to the end and we realize there's nothing there. There has to be more to our faith than this is just the way that I was raised. But when I'm not afraid to ask myself the difficult questions and to think honestly through the tough issues, we can then begin to create a faith that I can build myself, one that I can embrace and believe in. And when that happens, I own it. Because that faith becomes who we are, and it drives the decisions that we make and the direction that we take in our lives. When we truly own our faith, it causes us to live differently because our belief dictates our behavior. The way that we live is born out of what it is that we believe. For those of you who know me, I don't keep it a secret. I'm a skeptic by nature, and this faith stuff does not come naturally for me. I really, really struggle with my faith, and so that's why I volunteer to preach here, because when I'm up here, I'm just working out my faith in front of y'all in the weeks. And which means that there's times that, if I'm honest about it, sometimes I doubt. And I have my doubts. And when I doubt, I go big with doubts. Like, I doubt the whole enchilada. I mean, if God exists, then why didn't he just make everything painfully clear so that we could understand it? Why does it have to be so dang complicated? Why doesn't he just send out a big shout out from the heavenly realms just once a year and say, hey, I'm still here running the universe. Y'all be good now, you hear? Wouldn't that be nice? But instead, he's just like almost uncomfortably silent. And sometimes I get all up in my head and I just doubt the whole thing. What if we got it all wrong? What if the Bible's not really true? What if everything just comes to an end and we get to the end and there's nothing there? You name it, I have surely doubted it. So, does that make me a bad person? Does that make me going to get hit by lightning or something? You guys might want to move back a few rows. You know, I really get tired of people thinking that when they become a Christian, that we somehow like lose our ability to reason or to think critically, and that we should just blindly accept everything by faith. I mean, I hate it. Like, I've been in churches where you question something, everybody looks at you like, whoa, what are you doing? I mean, let me tell you something. My faith is anything but blind, and I am in this Christianity thing eyes wide open. By its very definition, faith accepts the fact there are just some things that we don't know and will never know this side of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 3 says, now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I find this scripture incredibly insightful, not just because of its clear and concise definition of faith, but because it also contemplates the starting point of our faith. He says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Have you ever asked yourself, where does my faith begin? Like, what is the foundation of my faith? In my opinion, if we are going to build a faith that is sustainable, if we're going to build a faith that we're building, that is a faith that we're building from the ground up, that with my own two hands, there are two critical things that I believe that every single one of us have to decide what it is we believe about. And the first one is, it's a foundational belief. We have to make a decision about that age-old question, where do we come from? How did this all begin? And when you ask that question, immediately there's a tension between the Christian faith and the rest of society, right? I mean, there is this point of conflict that exists between religion and science that's typically found in the idea of evolution versus creation, which is a little intimidating for those of us who aren't scientists or don't have a scientific mind, because there's some really, really smart people who have made some theories about the origin of life, and society has accepted them as true. And if you don't accept their theories, you are considered to be an unreasonable person who's not really that smart. But I have listened to many scientists and many smart people on both sides of the debate, and every time when you get down to it, at the end of the argument, they both land in the exact same spot when they have to admit, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know how the world was formed for sure because no one was there and you can't scientifically reproduce it. So when you say that the world started with a big bang, while they can't prove it, I can't refute it. Nor can they disprove that both things can be true at the same time, that perhaps the Big Bang came about as a result of God speaking the world in existence, and the way that he did that was to cause the isotopes to go bonkers and collide in with one another, and then bang, there's the world. I don't know. I can't know, but I can believe. We live in a world that has for centuries cultivated the idea that the skeptical person, the armchair quarterback, if you will, the person who questions everything and kind of lies back, they're smarter than everyone else who believes that are on the front lines. And so people will say that your faith is weak because you can't prove it. And they'll sit there and try to poke holes in your faith, but notice that they don't provide any alternative solution that they themselves can prove. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For through the wisdom of man, the world rejected God, but God took great pleasure in saving people of faith through the message of the cross, which the world says is foolishness." Faith, by many people's standards, is considered to be foolish. It's as if the intellectuals of the world have it all figured out, and there is an arrogance about their lack of faith because they refuse to acknowledge that it even takes faith to be an atheist. But the truth is that science can't disprove the existence of God any more than it can prove macroevolution is true. Science obviously falls short of being able to prove anything that can't be seen, touched, or reproduced in a lab. Science may be able to explain human anatomy, but it cannot explain the anatomy of my soul, which is not a bad thing. It's just not the job of science. But when it comes down to it, when faced with those questions, we have to cut through the fog and ask ourselves, what is it that I believe to be true? So I feel that foundationally, we have to first decide about how it all started before we can take the next step of the second foundational belief, is that we have to also make a decision about how it's all going to end. And at the crux of this question is, do you really believe that Jesus raised from the dead? Because that's the only reason why we can have any hope of where we end up in eternity. And if you question the resurrection of Jesus, I mean, I have to tell you, I get it. Like, I don't think you should feel alone when even the people who were closest to Jesus had a hard time believing it. I mean, the Bible says it was just after sunrise on that very first Easter Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. And I'm sure while they were on their way, their grief was just immense, and they were asking God, why would he take Jesus like that? But as they get to the tomb, they see the stone has been rolled away, and the body of Jesus is gone. Now, here's the kicker. They have no idea what happened. It never even occurs to them that Jesus actually rose from the dead. They just assume that somebody stole the body until two angels appear to them and say, "Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." The angel says, "Don't you remember? Like, Jesus told you that he was going to be crucified and that he was going to raise on the third day. And did you forget what day this was?" And in Luke chapter 24, it says, "Oh yeah, then they remembered his words." Yeah, after an angel tells them. So they run and they tell the other disciples, But as the two Marys are telling their story to everyone about what happened, it says that the disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, he wanted to go see for himself, so he gets up, he runs to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So crazy, but even those closest to Jesus who were in it with him, who heard his teaching direct, they had a hard time believing. It all seemed like a bunch of nonsense to them. Jesus raised from the dead, come on. Even Peter, who was one of the closest disciples, he runs to the tomb. He wants to see it for himself. He's standing there in the empty tomb wondering what the heck happened here. It wasn't like, wow, Jesus raised from the dead just like he promised. It was like he's sitting there scratching his head trying to make something rational out of the irrational. And so when you yourself hear those words that Jesus raised from the dead, does it seem like a bunch of nonsense to you? Like truly in your heart? Is it all just too hard to believe? How does the Jesus raises from the dead part fit into your faith structure? Look, it isn't until Jesus himself appears to the disciples in the flesh that everything comes together and they finally get it. They finally believe. Doubting Thomas, as he's come to be known, puts his hands in the indentation in Jesus' hands where the nails were and the hole in his side, and all of a sudden, after everything is proven to him, he now believes and he says, oh, Jesus really is risen from the dead, and he's standing there in front of me, and he drops to his knees and he says, my Lord, my God. But Jesus responds by saying something I think is incredibly profound. He says, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed is the one who has not seen me and yet still believes. It's almost like he's looking into the future some 2,000 years and he's looking right in your eyes this morning, asking you that question, do you believe? I mean, look, an angel appears to me, Jesus stands in front of me, I feel the near, I'm going to believe too, right? But can I find the faith to believe in that which I cannot see? And so I just ask you this morning to take a good hard look inside of your heart and ask yourself, what do I really believe about Jesus? What do I believe about this story that starts with God creating the world and goes into God having to save the world by sending his only son to die on a cross? I mean, what kind of plan is that? But that's where faith begins, when we face down the tough questions head on and we're forced to make a decision about what we believe. How did it begin? How's it going to end? Everything else we can fill in as we go. But those are two foundational beliefs that dictate the structure of our faith. And when we can land on those things, then it becomes a faith that is yours. It's not your parents, it's not your wife's, it's not your husband's. It's your faith. You own it. And we can build a faith that to some may seem foolish. But the truth is that it's actually wiser than anything that I can read in some textbook that's written by some intellectual pontificating. I have to tell you that I have searched and I have researched and I have worked through these issues of my faith, and I can tell you that when it comes down to it, when I cut through the fog of all my doubts, out of all the possibilities that are out there in the world, Jesus is the only thing that makes sense to me. Everything he says, everything he did, the way that he did it, it rings true to me, and I have to say, I believe. I believe. The resurrection of Jesus wakes up the spiritual side of your life, and your worldview gets bigger than just what you can see and touch and hear, because all of a sudden, your worldview becomes otherworldly. And when you realize that if Jesus really did raise from the dead, then you also have to believe that anything is possible, right? And thank God we know that there is something beyond just this daily grind. Can you find the faith inside of you to believe in a Jesus who is alive? We all have to put our faith in something. No matter what it is you believe, it takes faith to believe in any of it. And the question is, what will you put your faith in? Let me just tell you a few of the things that I have built my own faith on. I believe that in the beginning, God. I believe that Jesus really is the Son of God who came to earth and lived among us as one of us. And I believe that he lived a perfect life until he was killed on a cross for my sin. I believe that on that cross, he conquered sin and he offers us forgiveness and grace as a free gift. And it was a common criminal, a thief, who was the first one to receive the gift of grace on the cross. I believe that he was buried in a tomb, and a stone was rolled into place, and a soldier stood guard to make sure that he didn't get out. And I believe that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. And one day, he will return, and we will stand before him. I know the unimaginable is true. Not because of some scientific theory or because somebody had to prove it to me, because in my heart, I know I've made my choice. I am placing my faith, my life, and my eternity in the hands of Jesus, who conquered death, because I believe.